This is SNW Spotlight, brought to you by the new LSI. It's Wednesday, April 18th, 2007. I'm Paul Lancour with PodTech.net. We're reporting from San Diego at the Storage Networking World Conference. Subscribe to the podcast at snwspotlight.com or use your mobile device and text SPARK to 72648. Thornton May, noted futurist and computer world columnist, had a busy day with a keynote this morning and a panel discussion this afternoon. He set aside some time to talk to us, and we managed to get him to come out of his shell a bit. We'll have highlights of that conversation in a minute. First, our Michael Johnson turns his attention to network architecture, and he files this report.
As attendees gather at SNW, one thing is clear. It's the switching architecture that makes all the difference in how your network storage will perform and scale, and that's clearly good for business. We first hear from Claude Lorentzen, Group Product Manager for the Windows Server Division at Microsoft.
We started working with LSI in integrating our platform technology like volume shadow copy services, virtual disk services, and multipath I/O into their storage array. By doing that, LSI showed leadership in making their storage devices easy to manage in our customer environment. And once they had the basic support for the storage technologies and the platform, they've also participated with their OEM in our SimpleSAN program.
We took a moment to talk about architecture with some of the exhibitors here at SNW.
Hi, this is Mike Stanfill from LSI. Here in San Diego at the SNW meeting, talking with Jim O'Reilly, Manager of Engineering Electronics at Ferrari Systems in San Diego. So Jim, we've been working with you for some time now and your engineering team. And I was just curious, what has the SAS technology and your architecture done for you in terms of opening new markets or expanding your product portfolio?
Because of the switching topology of a serial link, we're able to get very high densities with small and relatively inexpensive switches. We're working with LSI pretty closely on the switching technology we've employed. And when you look at our rack system, you see a very dense computing capability already. Adding to that, this very dense storage capability as well. It's opening up new marketplaces for us, new ways to build systems. And I think going forward will be a major part of our overall business strategy.
With the increasing ease of deployment of SAN architecture into the storage space, companies are finding new business opportunities for data management. Here's Dan McLaughlin, VP of Storage and Server Products at SeaChange.
Companies like Comcast, who have for years delivered video that was created by the studios, are looking to be able to play in the space that's being occupied by YouTube and user-generated content. They rely on our technology to be the repository for that data.
At SNW in San Diego, I'm Michael Johnson for PodTech.net.
Most human beings like being right.
That's Thornton May, futurist and columnist with Computer World.
My core skill is being wrong, is being strategically ignorant, but directionally non-toxic.
In my conversation with him this afternoon, I asked May if, by non-toxic, he means first do no harm.
Well, all of our jobs, I think, is to do no harm. But I think the issue is that many people like to get right answers. I like to move the ball forward, all right? Because when it gets to the point where there is a right answer, it means that you are now in a different skill set, which is execution and Six Sigma operation. And I'm just not wired to play in that type of space. I deal with the fact that there are all these interesting questions. Let's bring people together. We don't know. I'm very comfortable not knowing. So I have, I guess, a lot of times in innovation, they talk about you need to bring a childlike curiosity. Well, whether I want to or not, that's what I have.
But don't you think that's a rare skill?
I don't know. I mean, it's nice that people says it, but I think that without someone who can build a bridge would be totally worthless. So we are actually part of this ecosystem working together. So, and that's actually how I think storage people need to, if you will, reconceptualize themselves, not just inside the discipline, but inside an ecosystem of skills, all helping to create value for the financial value for publicly traded companies and mission value for the public sector companies.
One of the things that is coming up repeatedly at this conference is the
fact that we're running out of the ability to control and the amount of information that's out there, that storage is actually starting to run into physical limitations on what it's able to do cost-wise, expenses becoming a problem.
But actually, the nice thing is, I mean, and forgive me for, I guess I'm sounding like a futurist, but I guess that's what I do.
That's why you're here.
But the nice thing is we are now coming to the point, we are now at that unique time, the unique moment in history where, like, the storage questions we're being asked to address actually are questions about the future of our species, because we're now, the storage is so big that we have to, it's like the human brain. So we actually have to bring the human brain to bear on, because we actually are a very effective CPU or processor. So we have to bring this to bear I'm very, very excited about this, because we're actually getting closer to the design spec of the human being.
Let me ask you also, just the sort of piecemeal growth of technology and of storage in this case creates a situation that we then, at this point here in 2007, step back and say, well, if we would have managed it from the beginning, we would have done this, but we didn't. So it seems that it's developed with a lack of overall strategy. So is that a fair assessment? And given that, how can we deal with the technology we have before us that's sort of not designed, but evolved in a way.
But I'm very comfortable with the evolutionary model, right? Because there's a reason for that. I mean, we would be so much worse off if we had had, a Stalinistic, basically structured top-down type of plan. I mean, we are now seeing this whole idea of the wisdom of crowds. I mean, it can go all kinds of different ways. So I don't think we need a big plan. I just need, we need a conversation around what is important. We need to deliver, we got to tighten up our delivery framework, and it's like a coral reef. We evolve, and all of a sudden, look, it's Australia.
I think on that note, we'll bring it to an end, but I appreciate you taking some time out and speaking with us.
Well, super, it's great, and I wish you continued good luck. Thanks.
That does it for this podcast. Go to snwspotlight.com, listen to all the podcasts, take part in the poll. Poll results will be posted there. As the conference wraps up tomorrow, we'll have a recap in our morning podcast, looking back at the big stories in storage at SNW this year. I'm Paul Landcor with podtech.net. Thanks for listening.
I mean, I keep buying more storage because of podcasts.